drow wisely turned and fled, but he had only gone a few strides when the dwarf reconstituted just to the side as the fleeing drow passed, and despite the drow's quick turn and dodge, sword slashing in a frenzy, the dwarf came on with a barrage of punches. His short legs pumped furiously, driving him against the drow, driving the drow against the far wall. The drow tried to scamper out to the side one way, then the other, but the dwarf cut him off expertly. No novice this. The drow struck out ferociously, one sword blocked by a grabbing hand that slid down the blade to cup the drow's hand, and with a deft twist of his wrist, the dwarf turned his hand over and slid his gauntlet spike into the drow's wrist and forearm. The other sword got through, a solid slash atop the dwarf's shoulder. But if the battle rager was at all wounded, he didn't show it. Nay, he just kept boring in, and when the drow retracted, he grabbed that arm. The drow tried to hold him back and tried to get away, but the dwarf methodically lowered his head and slowly pushed in. The helmet spike went against the drow's fine armor, and how the dark elf squirmed. "No, no," he pleaded. The dwarf offered a soft whisper of "shh" in reply, his powerful legs continuing to drive him forward. The drow went into a frenzy, dropping his swords and pulling his hands free to pound at the dwarf, but the dwarf bored in, the helmet spike finally pressing through fine drow armor. The drow gasped and grunted, squirmed and continued to flail, but ever slower, as the helmet spike slid into his chest and stabbed at his heart. The spike was against the wall then, fully through the poor victim, but the dwarf kept methodically driving onward. The drow fell limp, and the dwarf finally came back from the wall, standing straight and with the slain dark elf bobbing weirdly, impaled atop his helm. Blood spewed freely from the impaled corpse, showering the dwarf. Amber nodded eagerly at him, but her smile disappeared when the dwarf heaved the drow up, pressing him off the spike, and lifted his face to bask in, nay, to drink, the pouring blood. A long while later, he dropped the corpse to the ground, grabbed the drow by the hair, and dragged him along as he came toward Amber. She shook her head and tried to speak, which of course just filled her mouth with wretched foam.
"But aren't ye a lovely sight?"
the battle rager said when he stood before her, and he dropped the dead and drained drow fully to the stone and reached a bloody hand up as if to stroke Amber's face. She recoiled instinctively, only then fully grasping what it was that stood before her. An undead monstrosity, a vampire. She tried to speak again to ask him who he was, and simply spat out a line of wretched foam. How she hated these dark elves, and she almost wanted this undead creature to kill her then and there.
"Pleasant little lovely,"
the vampire said with a puzzled look and a mocking snort. He looked at her shackles.
"I'd break ye free, but them drow would get ye and blame ye for their dead."
He paused, as if another thought had suddenly come to him, and the look that came over his face chilled Amber to the bone.
"Might be another way, eh?"
His hand came up again, tenderly. And so discordant that movement rang to Amber, for the gauntlet was still liberally dripping the blood of his dark elf victim. She shuddered and shrank back, shaking her head and pleading with him with little mewling sounds. The battle rager paused, his hand hovering near to her, his expression shifting through a myriad of emotions, from eagerness to puzzlement to consternation and ending with a little feral growl. Amber sucked in her breath, swallowed a bunch of the putrid magical foam in the process, and vomited all over the ground between herself and the vampire.
"I'm looking that wretched to ye, eh?"
the undead dwarf roared, and he lifted his hand as if to strike. But he pulled back, shaking his head, muttering to himself. Fighting his urges and his hunger, Amber realized. And then something else came over him, and he looked off into the distance, up the tunnel and higher. He muttered something that sounded like,
"The graves!"
And he stomped his heavy boot.
Ah, ye thieving dogs! Ye let him be, me king!
He had gone mad, clearly, and Amber believed her life to be at its end, believed that this vicious creature would then tear her apart. But he didn't. He ran off up the tunnel, but skidded to a stop and came running back the other way. Down went one spiked fist, driving hard into a drow corpse, and down hard went the other hand on the second corpse, like a gaff hook pulling a fish up the side of a boat. A drow corpse tucked under each arm, the dwarf ran away down the tunnel. He came back a short while later, and Amber knew it was him, although he was in the form of a flapping bat then, and he went right past her without a notice, back the other way. He had moved the bodies, so that she could not be blamed for the murders, she realized. The captured dwarf cleric fell back against the wall, overwhelmed and terrified. She slid down to the floor and sat there crying, spewing foam with every chortle, cursing the dark elves and cursing life itself, and at times at least, savoring the revenge, feeling again her pick inside her torturer's skull. With that thought in mind, she began digging that pick into the sandier areas of her limited run, obscuring the blood and brain matter. The three friends and Guinevere, moving along at the back of the procession, turned a corner into a wide, straight corridor lined with doors on either side. "Slow," Regis whispered, for with his low-light vision, the halfling could see Brunner down at the other end of the corridor, just out of their light radius, where this passage ended in a sharp right turn. The dwarf crouched and looked back, his hand held up to his approaching friends. Regis looked to Ketty Bree and Wolfgar and whispered, "Wait." He noted that Ketty Bree had already stopped and was already nodding her agreement. She had one hand on Guinevere and could clearly feel the tenseness within the panther. Guinevere sensed something nearby, some enemy likely, Regis could see and Ketty Bree could feel. After a few heartbeats, they started off again slowly, moving toward Brunner, who was still some 20 strides away. Once more, though, Regis held out his arm to stop the others as Brunner swung around, coming fully into their corridor and throwing his back to the wall at the corner. Up came his axe, clutched tightly diagonally across his chest, the many-notched head resting on the front of his left shoulder. He glanced back at his friends and smiled, then whipped around in perfect timing, his